Good morning, family. Well, I witnessed a miracle last week. Marty's is alive and well. He did a great job, and I don't think any of us will ever forget that prayer because, in all seriousness, I've thought about what he said all week long. It's made me think about we are terminal. We all are going to die one day. We need to look at life as precious. And so, brother, I appreciate your sharing that last week. But we are glad that you're well. I didn't understand that, though. I came up and apparently everybody misunderstood, a couple misunderstood along with me. So, well, let's pray today as we begin. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts today. And we're going to look at some things, kind of an introductory more than anything else today. But let's pray as we begin. Father, we acknowledge that there is no other God but you. And Lord, we thank you for entrusting us with time, with talents, with opportunities, and with spiritual gifts. Help us not to waste one second of our lives, Lord. One second. But redeem the time that you have given us. Write eternity on our hearts, Lord. I pray for every believer today that you will help us, Father, discover our spiritual gifts and where we fit in within your kingdom so that we can better serve you. Lord, spiritual gifts can create lots of questions, and we realize that we don't know it all. There's a mystery to it, in a sense. But we ask that you, where we are in error, correct us. Where there is confusion, Lord, give us clarity. And above all, Lord, remind us that love is superior to everything and what ultimately matters. In Jesus' name, amen. I approach this thing with a lot of humility because there's just a lot of opinions and different interpretations of spiritual gifts. But I want you to relax, too, and understand there's no agenda here. You know, we're not trying to put something on you that you'd feel uncomfortable with. But I do believe it will benefit everyone here. And the good thing about it is, you know, you don't have to agree with everything that we share up here. And in fact, I want to encourage you to be a good Berean. You remember the Berean Christians in Acts 17, how they diligently studied the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. And that's what I want to urge each of us to do today. My goal with these messages, and it's just going to be for the next couple of weeks, is to help people identify their spiritual gifts. And to help them see how they fit in the kingdom of God. You know, I think, when was the last time you heard a message? I can't think of a time in 23 years as a follower of Jesus Christ that I have heard a message on spiritual gifts. And so I think it's an important topic to talk about. And by the way, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and this is a question that we'll kind of wrestle with when we talk about today. We learn that we receive spiritual gifts at baptism, when we are baptized into Christ. So if you have never made that decision, this will encourage you to think about the blessings that God gives us. Not only forgiveness and eternal life, but he invites us to be part of his body to do things. So this week we're going to do more of an introduction. Next week we're going to talk about how do we discover the spiritual gifts God's given us. So today we're going to start with, I think it's a good place to start, and that is what spiritual gifts are not, okay? So if you got your outline, make sure if you got it near you, grab it. You can follow along with me. And any word that's underlined in yellow, you want to make sure that you underline that. Now, spiritual gifts are not the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit received at baptism or the fruits of the Spirit. I think it's important that we understand that distinction from the start. Paul, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, makes it very clear to us that there is a distinction between spiritual gifts and these things that we've mentioned. We know this text from Acts 2:38 that when we're baptized into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God comes to dwell in our hearts. Very simple to understand. Paul reminds the Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? That is a profound thought to think that God lives inside me as I am. But the fruits of the Spirit have to do with character. They have to do with becoming more like Jesus. And that is the Spirit's goal for our lives, is that we become more like Jesus. And it's interesting that, the more we look at the text and we look at like Galatians 5, and the fruits of the Spirit are compared to the works of the flesh. You know, I notice when we get to spiritual gifts, there's no comparison to anything. It's what God's given those who are baptized into Christ. So I think we understand from the start that Scripture makes a distinction between the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. The moment you and I are baptized into Christ, we not only receive the Holy Spirit, we receive gifts to serve and encourage the body of Christ. God's given each of us a task to be a part of in His body, and that is to serve. Now He says about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Where is the Spirit given? The Spirit's given in baptism. So I receive a manifestation of the Spirit, a gift that I'm to use to serve the body of Christ. Now I want you to notice too that the Trinity is there in this. But the same Spirit distributes them, Lord, God the Father, all are there. And just as there is variety within the Trinity itself, there is variety within the body of Christ. And that's the point he's trying to make right there. So spiritual gifts are not in a hierarchy where, you know, there's one superior gift and everybody else kind of bows down to that other gift. No, Paul's point, and he makes this clear constantly through the text, that in the church, everyone is equal. All are needed to fulfill God's purpose. So it's not that God gives us gift to say, hey, look at me, I've got a gift, I've got this gift. And I think, you know, one of our shepherds made a good point this morning that it's not necessarily we stand out and say, I got this gift. People are going to know that you got the gift when they see you in your actions and the way you treat people and the fruit that you exhibit in your life. We're going to know what kind of gift you have. Now, what did the Holy Spirit through Paul teach in 1 Corinthians 12? Well, he teaches the point that the church is just like the human body. Every part needs one another. If the hand should say to the eye, I don't need you, you know, that would be preposterous. Every part needs each other. And so the idea of a hierarchy is very wrong to think of. We have these gifts to serve and to love one another. And that's the point he makes in 1 Corinthians 13, that the Holy Spirit reminds us that love is the superior gift. It is the most important gift that we have from God, superior to spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are not, you know, the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit received at baptism. It's not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not a hierarchy, okay? Spiritual gifts, thirdly, are not the same as natural talents. Not the same as natural talents. Why do we say that? Well, there's a reason why. Your natural talents are the abilities that we get from God. I believe they're from God. In my physical DNA when I am born. Maybe I'm gifted, I have long fingers and I'm gifted at playing guitar. Or I have an artistic talent and I can see things and paint beautiful pictures. Those are gifts from God. Yes, I will agree with you 100%. But spiritual gifts are the abilities I get from God in my spiritual DNA when I am born again. When I am baptized into Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live inside me. I receive spiritual gifts from the Father. Can God use our natural gifts, our natural talents for His glory? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to continue to encourage you to use those, whatever natural talents you have, for the glory of God. And you can use any gift, any talent in that regard. But God also gives us spiritual gifts at baptism to serve His body, the church. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And then he goes into, in 1 Corinthians 12 here, goes into a list of them. And he says, one is a spirit of wisdom, another a message of knowledge. And then he says at the end here, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. In other words, the Holy Spirit decides when each person is baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit decides which gift that person will have. Because the Spirit knows, obviously being God the Spirit, knows what is best for the body and how your talents combined with your spiritual gifts can glorify the kingdom, glorify God. It's interesting, the word for gift is the word charismata. It means literally grace gift, okay? So it's not something that I earn. It's not something I try to pray for. It is something I simply receive from God. And that's important to understand, that spiritual gifts are not something, you know, we pray for or we seek, okay? We just, our task is to identify which ones we have so that we can better serve the body. So the Spirit of God is the one that decides which gifts that we do have. Now, why does God give His children spiritual gifts? Well, very simply, it's to encourage, to serve, and to build up the body of Christ. It's not for selfish purposes. It's not to say, hey, look at me, I've got this gift. It's to say, humbly, I want to serve you. I want to help you. I want to help build you up and encourage you with whatever gift I have. So what are spiritual gifts? In a simple definition, I think this is great. A spiritual gift is a God-given special ability given to every believer at baptism by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of edifying, serving, and encouraging the church. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we identify that. And what we're going to do is we're going to show you each of the gifts, and we're going to show you how that would apply to your life here at Forest Mill. For example, the gift of teaching. You know, we have opportunities to teach our children, our teenagers, adults, Bible studies, home groups. There's all kinds of opportunities to use that gift. But that's what we'll do with each gift. We'll show you where you could fit. And your task will be to prayerfully seek where God wants you to serve. So why are we talking about this? God created you for a purpose. You remember those days, don't you? Those are some good days. No worries. Everything was warm. Everything was peaceful. But God created you and I for a reason. You're not here by accident. You're not here living in 2014 in Manchester, Tennessee by accident. God has called you here. You are here for a purpose and a reason. I always find ways to put Psalm 139 in a sermon because it's my favorite psalm. But the Lord reminds us that Lord, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. It's interesting how a child grows in a mother's womb from 2 to 4 cells to 8 to 16 to 32 to 64, and it looks like God is knitting the child together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. There's a difference between God knowing something and causing something. God knows the future of our lives. He knows the choices we will make. He doesn't cause them. So when you read that, you know, every moment was laid out, you know, all my life was recorded in your book. God knows the beginning of your birth and the day of your death. And we need to live our lives with that in mind, with eternity stamped on our eyelids, with saying, I'm not here to make money. I'm not here to, you know, to acquire a bunch of stuff. I am here to fulfill God's purpose for my life, whatever that may be. Before I formed you in the womb, God says to Jeremiah, I knew you. Now here's the $10,000 question is, where was I before the womb? See, this thing gets extremely deep because you start realizing this is not just about me. This is about God entrusting me with gifts, God entrusting me with talents, with opportunities to glorify Him, to serve the purposes that He created us for. And before you were born, I set you apart, God said to Jeremiah. You have a purpose. You're going to be my prophet. It's going to be a difficult road, but I will walk with you through it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I love, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, that the word workmanship there is the word poema, where we get the word poem. We are our God's poem, His masterpiece. Your life is a poem. Your life is a workmanship of a creator. God has had things planned for us to do before the foundation of the world. Now, if that doesn't make your hair stand up on the back of your neck, honey, you ain't got no hair on your neck. To think that God, before creation began, had us in mind is mind-blowing. It should cause you to worship. It should cause you to say, thank you for letting me be a part of your grand story, Lord. Because we are. We're in Acts 29. Did you know that? If you look up your Bible, you ain't going to find Acts 29. But it's interesting in chapter 28 how it just kind of stops. And I think the Holy Spirit did that deliberately to say, it's continuing with us. God is writing His story using us. But you are God's poem. Don't ever think that you're junk or that you're not someone special, that you're not precious to God. God would say, no, you're my poem. And I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Understanding your spiritual gifts and how you fit in it is absolutely empowering. It will change your life. It'll transform the way you see yourself, the way you see God, the way you see church. It ain't just about coming here as a spectator. It ain't just about sitting here and saying the amen and cha-ching and I'm done for my Christianity for the week. It is being a part of an awesome movement of God here. There is great things going on here. If we were to look at where God's working, and when you understand where you fit, it is absolutely empowering. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. And while we're called to serve in any capacity, you know, knowing that you have the gift, say, of teaching or the gift of mercy or whatever, it makes you become more productive and it makes you want to be better at it. And so therefore, you don't waste your time focusing on areas that maybe you're not very good at, but areas that you are good at, yes, I'm going to focus on that area and be productive. Have you ever found yourself serving in a ministry that you were not called for? Maybe you were on, you know, mission trip or VBS or CLAB, but I don't know. I mean, everyone's got a different story. I've been put in situations when I worked with inner city where I had to teach a small group of 3 to 6 year olds. And while I love children dearly, and I can sit there and sing, I'm in the Lord's army, yes sir. You know, I could do all the fun songs and sing, but to sit down with a child and say, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about God. You know, I can make it simple, but I'm not gifted in this area. And I watch some of you here that are involved with our children and how you teach the kids. You have a gift of bringing it out of the kids to make it so it speaks to them. See? We need to cultivate and develop the gifts we do have. You know, and God likes to call us into uncomfortable areas often, I think, to help us grow. But I think the Lord also wants us to know what our gifts are. So why are we talking about spiritual gifts? Many of us have unrealized potential. Do you know what that means? Some of us have not even tapped into what God has for you. We haven't even tapped into what He's gifted you with. And therefore, there is unrealized potential of what God can do in your life. You say, oh, God can't use me. Let me tell you something. God does not call qualified people. He qualifies the called. And we've seen that statement, but do we really believe it? Oh, he wouldn't want to use me. He uses the most unlikely people for his glory. I have seen it over and over again. This is what the parable of the talents is all about in Matthew 25. And by the way, the word talent there has nothing to do with, you know, our ability, talents, but it has to do with money, okay? Talents are money. And interesting how this word came into our English language. It came in through this parable, and now it means ability. But it's interesting that Jesus tells the story of how a guy entrusted 10 talents to one person, 5 to another, and 1 to another. And it's interesting, the first two guys get to work. Okay, let's go out and get some more, and let's go do something, and let's be about God's business here. And the one talent guy kind of just hides it. He buries it out of fear because he's wanting to play it safe. He has just one talent, but he buries it. And God gets upset with him because he is operating out of fear instead of faith. And I believe with all my heart that every Christian here has a place to serve and is important in God's kingdom. But God does not call us to be spectators. He wants you to be a part of what He is doing. And by knowing your gift and where it fits in, you can become part of what God is doing. Why talk about spiritual gifts? Well, you and I are accountable for how we use the gifts God has given us. I think that's the point of the parable of the talents. Is that God holds me accountable. Let me see what you've done with it, Chris. Because there's going to be a day when the Lord asks us, what have you done with the time and the talents and the opportunities and the gifts I gave you? What have you done with them? Well, I didn't know my gift, Lord. It's right there in the text. You didn't seek me? Why not? What have we done with what God's given us? We are accountable for how we live. We're accountable for what the gifts God's given us. It is possible, I believe, for someone to receive gifts at baptism, but you know they don't know or discover them for many years until down the pike. And I want to encourage you today, if this message is going, you're going, whoa, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know how to figure this out, and I'm getting discouraged. And no, I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to seek. I want you to ask God, Lord, make it clear to me. Because I'm a firm believer, if you're 60, 70, 80 years of old, 80 years of age, it's never too late to discover your gifts. I have seen 70 and 80-year-old people who have such a fire for God in their life, and they are prayer warriors, and they're ministering to people through World Bible School. There's all kinds of neat ways for folks to minister in that, and God's using them in a powerful way. And why are we talking about spiritual gifts? Well, it's in the Bible. We've got 4 texts, and I want to encourage you this week, take these 4 texts. It's in on your outline, and just read them. Maybe you're familiar with them already. Maybe you're not. Just read them and ask God, Lord, teach me about spiritual gifts, and God will. Now, there's 3 common traps regarding spiritual gifts, and these are pretty obvious, I think. The first one is projection. Well, since I've got the gift of teaching, everybody else needs to have the gift of teaching, right? And we go around criticizing people. Hey, why aren't you teaching a Bible class? Why aren't you doing this? Why don't you have a small group? And not everybody has that gift of teaching. But unfortunately, when we feel like we're really compelled about the gift God's given us, everybody else needs to have it too. Doesn't work that way. Comparison. We say, well, if I'm not singing or preaching, I guess I'm just not that important. We start comparing, you know. And by the way, that is the worst thing you can do, because just because someone has one gift does not mean they're more spiritual or better or loved by God more than you. Remember, God says we're all equal. No one is superior. God is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Well, that solves that. I don't have to guess who's driving here. But don't compare yourself. That's the worst thing we can do. We need to honor and appreciate what other people's gifts are. And rejection. Well, I don't have the title, therefore I can't do it. I have met men and women who have clearly have the gift of teaching or prophecy, which is modern-day preaching, and they don't use it because I don't have the title for it. I guess I can't do it. Oh, God can use you powerfully. Not necessarily in a pulpit, but what I'm saying is God can use you powerfully in small groups and in home Bible study. There's all kinds of ways that you can use your gift. Don't think because, well, I don't have the tie, I can't use it. Nah. Those are the three common traps that we have. So how do I discover my spiritual gifts? Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we'll discover our gifts together. But there's a couple of things we can think about as we close today. I think, first of all, where you begin is you begin in prayer. Sincerely coming to God and saying, God, you know, I want to know. Please make it clear. You think God's not going to answer that prayer? I think God will very much answer that prayer. Secondly, begin serving and experimenting with different ministries and gifts. You know, I like what Rick Warren says. He says, we get it all wrong. We think we got to do an inventory, and then we'll figure out our spiritual gift. He says, why don't you just start serving in different ministries, and then you'll discover your gift normally. And what's great about what's great about doing an inventory is it kind of verifies what you already know. So the inventories are real great. And we'll be handing an inventory out hopefully next week that you can do and on your own and hopefully verify what God is already doing in your heart. I think when you discover your spiritual gift, I think this is one of the key things. You begin to experience joy. You love doing it. I mean, you don't have to poke somebody, hey, you need to get onto your class, or you need to go out, benevolent committee, you know. You enjoy doing it. There's a joy within you that builds up. And obviously, fruitfulness. When you see fruit develop because of that gift, that you're starting to discover what your gifts are. And that, as we said, the best way to discover your spiritual gift is to understand the function. And then we'll do that next week. So, and read those passages. So let's stand for prayer as we close today, and let's just ask God to help us this week as we seek. Father, I pray for every believer today, Lord, that you will help us discover our spiritual gifts and where we fit in your kingdom. Maybe some here already do know what their gifts are, and that's awesome. But for a lot of us, we don't know. I pray that you will raise up new ministries here at Forest Mill. I pray, Father, for a spirit of love and unity among all of us, Lord, as we seek to understand where we fit. I pray that you raise up new leaders, new opportunities. And Lord, we want your will, Lord, nothing more and nothing less and nothing else. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if you have not begun your walk with Jesus Christ, it's awfully simple what the Scripture teaches us. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I can't save myself, I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross. God calls us to repent, which means to make a decision to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and go God's way in my life. And baptism is where we begin that relationship with God, where we are washed away. There is no sin too strong for the blood of Christ to wash away. And today, if you're ready to begin that, we can baptize you today into Christ. Maybe you have questions about it. Come talk to us afterwards. Or maybe today you've already begun your walk with God, but you just need prayer. And we will be honored to pray for you today and minister to your needs. We have loving shepherds here that deeply care about the body here. Whatever your need is, Tommy's going to sing our song.
Be a blessing to someone.